to be the ball game. 6-5-4-3. They can't snap it. They can't stop it. They can't win it. Alabama wins the ball game.
Derrick Thomas, linebacker, Alabama.
He was a nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun. Woo! Woo!
Son, I got to do better than this.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field like when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season. And they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, digital managing editor of Town Square Media Tuscaloosa. Across from me is Joe Gaither, brand manager of Tide 100.9. Behind the glass, Timothy Bowens on the board, Mason Woods helping out as well. Plenty to get into. If you want to call the show today, 205-342-9904. No guests, just going to be me and Joe and Mason and Timbo talking some sports, getting down to
sports
it.
Sports ball,
the points. Go score the goal. Where I want to start is Heisman odds. There's this website called Bet Alabama, which is the most oxymoronic, I'm not going to lie, it's a pretty oxymoronic website title, but Bet Alabama, and they've released some DraftKings sportsbook odds for the Heisman so that you, the Alabama legal bettor, obviously you got to go to a different state for that, but so that you have an idea of what you should be looking at as far as Heisman odds. Now, interestingly enough, kind of the sales pitch that they sent is more so for Will Anderson. But I do want to start at the top and start with C.J. Stroud being the Heisman favorite, according to DraftKings, at plus 250, and the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Bryce Young, being the runner-up to the Heisman favorite at plus 350. Now, there's a significant gap between them and Caleb Williams, the former Oklahoma quarterback, now with the USC Trojans, at plus 900. And then an even more significant gap between him and Bijan Robinson, the running back out of Texas, who's plus 2,000. But starting with those two quarterbacks who we anticipate are going to be in the Heisman conversation for the bulk, if not the entirety, of the 2022 college football season, I find it odd that C.J. Stroud would have any sort of advantage over Bryce Young for any reason. Outside of the name Jackson Smith and Jigba, which is understandable.
Marvin Harrison Jr. too.
Sure. Like, C.J. Stroud's got better wide receivers. I'm not going to discredit that. Maybe that's why he gets that nod. But I would look at the guy who did more with less last year and still won the Heisman by a significant amount. I would probably run with that guy as my favorite leading into this year as well. So I'm not giving betting advice, but I am telling you that if you think Bryce Young's winning the Heisman, you may as well go bet right now. Because at plus 350, you're not going to get better odds on Bryce Young throughout the season unless he gets hurt. Right? I mean, that's all you're going to get. So go on ahead and do it. It's not advice, but you definitely should. Whereas C.J. Stroud, he's going to dip off of this. So I don't see the benefit to the sportsbook going out on a limb. Like, it's not their job to go out on a limb and say that C.J. Stroud has any sort of advantage over Bryce Young heading into this season. But with that being said, you know, Gary was talking about the odds to win the national championship. I don't remember where Ohio State was on that. I think
third or fourth.
Third or fourth. I would have them second. If you asked Gary the $50, if you had $50 and Bama was off the board, who are you taking? I'm taking Ohio State.
Yeah.
All day, every day, not thinking twice about it. But
do you think the sportsbook just put C.J. Stroud first because they know that, you know, only one player's won two Heismans, and it's going to be more difficult? I mean, not more difficult, but people are going to be less likely to vote for Bryce Young if there's an equal or close candidate around there?
I think that's fair. I think that's a messed up reason for a guy not to win a Heisman.
I agree. I agree.
If Bryce Young deserves to be a repeat Heisman winner,
give it to him.
I think that there could be. See, what's interesting is on this list of about 10 to 12 players, there is no Jahmyr Gibbs, who I've seen several times be brought up in the conversation, but also be given Heisman odds.
That's who I bet, because your odds are amazing.
Exactly.
Well, what's the odds for the 10th player right there? 1,500 or something?
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. What? Anthony Richardson has a plus 4,000.
Oh, yeah. I'm playing $50 on Jahmyr Gibbs because it's got to be better than 4,000.
Anthony Richardson, Keaton Slovis, Travion Henderson, the running back from Ohio State, Spencer Rattler, and the one and only Terminator, the Will Anderson Jr., yes, the Ohio State. All of those players are at plus 4,000.
Yeah, I'm playing Jahmyr Gibbs then, because you have to go off the book. I mean, this is just the list that you've got right here, your featured guys, but you can definitely bet on Jahmyr Gibbs. And if his odds are over 4,000, because really, as a gambler, when you're doing futures, you're looking for value.
Yeah.
And you know, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud might win it. They absolutely are probably your two favorites.
But you've at least got value on Bryce Young right now.
A little bit.
I mean, plus 350 isn't like a massive number, but it's the best you're probably going to get.
Yes, yes, yes. and it's senseless throwing money away on Spencer Rattler when you know he's not going to win. So that $50 at plus 4,000, yeah, that's great value, but you're just throwing that $50 away.
Right. See, and that's the other aspect. Where I was going with that is, if Jahmyr Gibbs isn't on this list, but he is presumably probably in the 4,500 range, then Will Anderson being on there is another factor to it. But if that's the case, if you're taking away from Bryce Young because of other candidates on his team that would be just as likely to win the Heisman as him in all reality, and honestly could take votes away from Bryce Young. It was something we feared last year when it came to Will Anderson. It didn't happen because Bryce Young got an exorbitant amount of first-place votes, and Will Anderson even had more first-place votes than everybody except for C.J. Stroud that was in New York. So that finished ahead of him, you know, obviously, except for Bryce Young. So if that's the case, while Jackson Smith and Jigba is plus 3,000, shouldn't that take away from C.J. Stroud as well?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've said it before, Jackson Smith and Jigba might be a better wide receiver prospect than Devontae Smith.
He's incredible. He is so smooth.
He is insane. And I know that is a painful thing to hear. We wouldn't have gotten the Devontae Smith we got if Jalen Waddle didn't get hurt. It's just a fact of reality.
Yeah.
What would he still have been the same Devontae Smith, still been the same guy that was extraordinarily talented and helped us in big moments, that caught 15 balls, I think, in the first half of the national championship? Yes. Like, there's no taking away from Devontae Smith, but he doesn't win the Heisman if Jalen Waddle doesn't get hurt. There's not much keeping Jaxon Smith-Njigba from just outright winning the Heisman Trophy this year and stealing it from his quarterback, to be honest. C.J. Stroud is a fantastic prospect. There are a handful of folks out there that think that C.J. Stroud is a better pro prospect than Bryce Young. I think that's a fair assessment to have. I think C.J.'s got a slightly stronger arm, but he's been a little bit more erratic in his career, whereas Bryce Young has really had very little to no troubles with turning the ball over and making mental errors. So I'm a little taken aback. Don't really understand why C.J. Stroud would be ahead of Bryce Young, but if you want that, if you want that value, that early on value, Bryce Young at 350, you're not going to get better. With Will Anderson at plus 4,000, though, I don't know. I might put $10 on that. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, oh, that's worth it.
I mean, honestly, Will's odds last year towards the end of the season were like plus 3,500. Like, they were still at a place where you could reasonably win a lot of money for a guy that could legitimately win the Heisman.
Yeah.
So plus 4,000 is really a slap in the face to him, because what we were talking about last year with Will Anderson was a guy that was expected to be absolutely insane, and he was. But his running mate was supposed to be Christopher Allen, who was going to take some pressure off of him and allow both of those guys to be bookend edge rushers with different qualities to them. You got one power, one guy that does it all, but Will uses a tad bit more speed. You've got two guys to get it done in different ways. You can utilize them. Well, Christopher Allen goes down week one on his first sack.
That first quarter and a half, though, the defense looked disgusting.
Insane. Oh, my. I don't know how bad. I mean, Miami was pretty bad last year, so they assisted.
The tackles were just collapsing. But that defense
looked insane first half against Miami. But then what Will Anderson gets in his stead is Drew Sanders. And Drew Sanders was a good player. Don't get me wrong. Dude couldn't pass rush. He didn't have an arsenal of moves that was even remotely comparable to Will Anderson or Christopher Allen or the guy that ended up replacing him when he broke his hand, that being Dallas Turner. When Dallas Turner took over as the guy opposite of Will Anderson, Will Anderson's sack numbers did go up, right? Because what happened to Will Anderson against Mississippi State? Everybody wants to say that Charles Cross whooped Will Anderson. Everybody wants to say that Will Anderson got whooped by the Mississippi State offensive line. Did he lose reps in pass rushing? Yes. Did he also have to go into pass coverage a lot because Dallas Turner was getting acclimated to the position? What was he not in a situation where he was having to make up for deficiencies on the defense because of injury? Yeah. But once Dallas Turner got acclimated and Dallas Turner started to do Will Anderson, you know, freshman Will Anderson things, Will Anderson got significantly better. He got the bulk of those tackles for loss. He got the bulk of his sacks for the season. He got the bulk of the dynamic plays that he made as a sophomore here at Alabama. So to me, at plus 4,000, you're really slapping him in the face, because now he's got a Dallas Turner with a full offseason behind him. Now he's got a Dallas Turner that many, many people are even more excited to see what he can do, rather than the guy that is one of the two best players on this team, one of the two best players in the country. Dallas Turner draws a ton of attention off of Will Anderson. Mm-hmm. So Will Anderson's going to eat. Will Anderson's going to get a lot of sacks. Will Anderson is going to make a lot of plays. And when that happens, Dallas Turner is going to get his too.
If you're Golding, you know you're putting Dallas Turner, Will Anderson, and Chris Braswell on the field at the same time together. Do you prefer pairing Braswell on the Turner side, on the Dallas Turner side, or on the Will Anderson side? Because I mean, whichever side you put the both on, oh, it's terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but it makes the opposite side one-on-one, basically.
Well, you can look at it from two ways. You either get the one-on-one, or you get – there was a stunt that Alabama ran Will Anderson's freshman in 2020 where Will Anderson and Christopher Allen would line up on the same side.
Yeah, yeah.
They ran that against Florida. And Kyle Pitts ended up on Will Anderson, and Kyle Pitts said, "I'm not blocking him." And Kyle Trask got eaten alive. You know, so there's multiple ways to go about it. I'm playing around with it. I'm mixing all three of them up. I'm putting Will on the inside. I'm putting Dallas on the inside. I'm putting Chris on the inside. I'm putting Will and Dallas on the same side. I'm putting Chris and Dallas on the same side. I'm mixing it all up. And I'm putting Byron Young out there with him, because he's the best pass rushing interior off defensive lineman we got. Justin Aboigbe can do it some too. I'm putting Tim Smith out there as well. I'm mixing up that front four as much as I possibly can. And I'm going to throw Jeremiah Alexander out there a time
Insanity.
Or two. You know, I've got more edge rushers than I know what to do with. So I'm not just putting Chris Braswell out there. I'm putting Jeremiah Alexander out there. I'm putting Q Robinson out there. I'm putting everybody out there. And we're headhunting this year.
Those quarterbacks better have life insurance policies. Better update their life insurance policies.
What was the bold prediction that was said on the game? Something about
plus 35. It was 35 sacks between the two of them, I think it was.
Between Will and Dallas.
Right at 17 apiece, really.
And that is right on the I don't know who said it, but that is right on the brink of
it was Paul and Lincoln, I think.
It's so crazy it could happen. Because you look at all of that going on. And if that's the case, if you get 35 sacks, I know it's a bold prediction. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But if you're getting 35 sacks between two players, one of them's going to have more. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's number 31. Will Anderson's not going to be outdone by Dallas Turner. He won't allow it. If that's the case, Will Anderson will not only be in New York, but he's going to be standing between C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young demanding that trophy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard for anybody to not give him that vote. Now, C.J. Stroud could throw 20 touchdowns to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and both of them will be there as well. I know, you know, last year a lot of people wanted to crown Spencer Rattler really, really early. These are four proven guys. These are four guys the NFL is salivating over having in their league next spring. That's not quite the case for Spencer Rattler. There were a lot of questions about him for the NFL. No, the NFL loves these four players. And those are the four players that I anticipate are going to be in New York. One way or another. Maybe you get Bijan Robinson. He can stay healthy. Maybe he gets a handful of votes. Maybe you get five guys up there. Those are the four guys. So you pick your favorite out of that. You pick the value that you're going to get out of that. If there's a way to vote for who's bet on who's going to be in New York, take that one. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and the Terminator Will Anderson. You'll have an easy time. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, more Off the Edge, 205-342-9904. If you want to join the conversation, you are more than welcome to. We'll be back right after this. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
You've probably seen their clothing around town on game days, but check out Christopher Mobley on the Strip. It's luxury game day apparel redefined. It's the only place in town where you can find Tide Hoops apparel. Clothing designed for the modern day entrepreneur, golf enthusiast, and athleisure fanatic. They've got Peter Millar, Fiore, Grayson, and Mizzen & Main. And if you haven't tried the Mizzen & Main dress shirts, you've got to. You can find them at 1410 University Boulevard on the Strip. Also, they've got a great e-commerce site at ChristopherMobley.shop. So check out Christopher Mobley, luxury game day apparel redefined.
Wait, I can go from 0 to 60 way too fast.
Who knew electric vehicle owners were having so much fun?
20 or 30 years ago, I owned a gas sports car, and this car is much quicker.
It's a great, fun car to drive. When you put your foot on the accelerator, it just goes.
They're fun, they're fast, they're efficient.
Visit driveelectricalabama.com to learn how you can start having fun driving an electric vehicle.
Sponsored by the Alabama Clean Fuels Coalition, the ABA, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Temperatures are heading for highs in the upper 90s and the 100 across here this afternoon.
Under partly cloudy skies, heat advisories are in effect. Only a slight chance for cooling showers. Low between today and tomorrow. Highs 98 to 100 both days. Lows tonight around 73.
And meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 95 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you. Joe Gaylor across from me. Timothy Bowen. You picked this one out, right, Timothy? No. Mason Woods helping him out as well. We're going to have some fun today. It's Wednesday. Taking your phone calls, 205-342-9904. That's where we find our friend Jeff in Tennessee. Jeff, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? Are you ready for Major League Football this fall? The MLFB this fall. Alabama's going to have a team in it. Did y'all know that?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Major League Football. Well, break us in, Jeff.
Jerry Lamb was going to coach a team, so maybe y'all can figure out. It's called Major League Football. It's going to be this fall. It's going to be four teams. Alabama's got one.
Can you be a major league if you only have four teams?
Well, that's what they're starting out with. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, not saying they're going to last very long, but that's where they're starting out. So, I got Canton, Ohio. They haven't won Atlanta. I think Canton, Ohio, and Virginia. And
MajorLeagueFootball.pro. That's the website. They got an American flag in their logo. I mean, they're on the right step, right?
But, you know, the Alabama Airborne, I think is what they call their name. I think that's what it is. But it's Major League Foot. It's MLFB.com is what it is. There's a team in Texas, too. Texas team also, I think.
Well, it looks like they want to have several teams. They want an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference. And
I'm seeing 18 teams
yeah,
here.
They want nine teams in each one. They're only starting with four.
This is what I'm saying. Major League Football is what I'm talking about. So, Jeff, why
should I watch this instead of the NFL, my guy?
Well, I mean, I don't care what you watch. You can watch USFL if you want to watch it. Watch them cockroaches over in Legion Field. I don't care what you watch, okay?
I'm just trying to set you up to talk about the league. It's not about me, really.
I mean, that's four teams. They probably won't last 6 months, but, you know, y'all love football.
Well, I mean, I want to watch it. The Major League Football League, which is such a weird way. Alabama Airborne, Arkansas Attack, Florida Fusion, Northwest Empire. You would like this. A lot of alliterations. Ohio Union, Oklahoma Nation, Oregon Crash, Texas Independence, Utah Stand, and Virginia Armada. Those are some pretty kick-ass names, I'm not going to lie.
There's no team in Kentucky?
No. They tried to start
Big
up
Nation's
in...
Big Blue Nation is the only major league team in Kentucky.
They tried to start up in 2016. It got canceled. 2017, they had a change of ownership, I guess, as far as the league goes. And, of course, then COVID happened not long after that. So, yeah, 2022 is when they're trying to make their comeback.
So, they got what I saw was 14. But, no, y'all are talking about the...
Jerry Glanville going to be the head coach of the Alabama Airborne.
Yeah. So, y'all can interview him sometime before the season starts. I'd be trying to be fun. y'all were talking about the SEC stuff today. Talking about Stu's eight games. When he went to the spring, he did an interview a while back, a few weeks ago, on KSR. Which they talked about, asked about his offseason going and all that stuff. And he said when he was in the spring meetings, he said majority of the coaches wanted eight games. They didn't want nine. They don't want nine games. So, you know. But I'm sure they'll get their arms twisted and be nine because Barnhart's already come out and said that if they go to nine games, the Louisville game's at risk.
What did you think about what Stoops said about that? Because I thought, you know, I like Mark Stoops, but I thought what he said was kind of weak to say that playing Louisville in nine games is tough.
He's looking out for himself.
He's not
worried about the rest of this league. He ain't worried about what Alabama does or the rest of them. He's looking out for Kentucky's football program.
I don't care
what Georgia and Alabama and Florida and Tennessee and the rest of them do.
Wouldn't you understand the argument, I guess, would be a more proper way to ask the question, that playing that ninth game, no matter who it is against, and winning that ninth game, being an SEC game, does that not create more value than beating West Tennessee Tech?
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's all who you play.
No, they play Bowling Green.
But, I mean,
yeah,
who they play, I guess. But I mean, why? I mean, you're winning national championships now with eight games. Why play nine? You're winning now. You're
the spirit of competition.
Now. So why?
Let's beat everybody.
Well, you know what Nick Saban said? Some team's going to be undefeated. We'll have two losses and blah, 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 all this other stuff. So he said that, too.
That's fine. I don't like undefeated seasons.
Your great Nick Saban said that. So, I mean,
I just don't want to play UT Martin anymore.
Well, then don't play him. Play somebody else. There's plenty of division.
I want to play Kentucky.
There's Sun Belt. There's plenty
of
them.
I want to play Vanderbilt. I want to play South Carolina.
Vanderbilt's not
playing. I want to play Florida. Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri.
Hey, let's play a weekend series Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we'll do
hell yeah. Hey, let's now you're talking about that.
Hey, let me tell you something. You know what Swanee did back in the day? They played five games in 6 days. In 1899, they played Texas A&M, Texas, LSU, Tulane, somebody else, and shut them all out but one.
University of South, baby. Swanee.
They went
to Texas, and Texas was going to pay them $700 to go over there. And the guy was doing their travel, so we can't just do that and go back. We got to play some other games along the way. So they played Texas A&M, and they went to Louisiana. They played LSU and Tulane, kicked their asses, won it. It's what takes the difference. Y'all need to play seven games. Y'all play every day. Y'all so great. They'll play Sunday to Sunday. Y'all so darn great.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, let's go.
So you play every day. Come on. See,
maybe it'll be an even playing field.
How is Miss Perry? How is she doing after the 33-18 loss? How she's doing, darling?
I think she's doing fine. The Saban Center's coming along. She's got the Alamite on her plate. The First Lady of Alamite football is doing just fine, delegating.
How much longer is he going to be alive? I guess he dropped in on that field. I guess he'd be like, Coach K said the other day he wasn't going to no home basketball games at Duke, so I reckon he can be like Bear Bryant, drop dead on Legion, or drop dead at Bryant in the stadium, but reckon.
I think Coach Saban would choose that, Jeff. What about you?
He wants to. That's up to him. That's his life. Ain't mine. Hell, he wants to die on a football field. It's up to him. Name a better place to die.
They
forced state offer up at 70 because they had a retirement law. I mean, Coach Rupp would have probably coached till he died, but they forced him out, so he had to retire. So that's just the way. And we hired Coach Hall, and the rest is history. So Coach Hall's the best one that ever followed a legend in sports, in my opinion. He followed a Rupp in 75 of him in the Final Four.
Easy to follow a guy when he's racist, as a non-racist.
What happened after Bear Bryant? Let's see. Ray Perkins, who else?
Ray was fine.
Ray did a good job.
He was. Okay.
Yeah. Ray did a good job. He was ousted because Bama fans didn't know any better.
He tore that tire down and took Golden Flake chips away. What y'all going to do about that?
That's politics.
That's politics. That's stuff that people don't matter.
Ray Perkins, Shula. Who has y'all? Mike Price.
You're skipping over Gene Stallings. Jeez. Yeah.
See, y'all found Gene Stallings.
National champion.
Well, 92. It took y'all 15 years to find him. 15 years.
You're wrong there. Didn't Coach Bryant try 84, 85, 86?
82.
Okay, so 10 years later, you won a national championship. Stallings was put in 90, right?
I guess he started. I don't know when he started, I guess.
You're just spouting off 15 years without knowing.
Well, I mean, 10. Well, yeah, but 10 years, y'all, that's like 100 years for the Yankees. Y'all don't win no championship. That's like 50 of the – y'all like New York Yankees. Y'all got to have one every 5 years or it ain't right. So what's the difference?
The Yankees haven't won since 2009. They're starving.
Well, I mean, that's why they won a championship so bad. They ain't won it so long.
Do y'all not want a championship?
Yeah, I mean, what about Kentucky?
Isn't that what we play for?
1950 was a long time ago.
We won a national championship, but they're not easy to get. I mean, it's not you just can't. They don't grow on trees, and we won it in other sports besides men's basketball.
They're easy for others.
Everything else. So well, we're the first ones to do it in the SEC. Are y'all going to win one? I mean,
eventually, probably not in volleyball. Maybe.
Y'all can't even beat Alabama State, so what's the difference? You sure can't beat us. What's the difference?
In volleyball?
We're the best. Yeah, in volleyball, we won in 2020.
Great.
It was volleyball.
Hang the banners. Hang them in
well,
a row.
We got one of them bull coliseum. It's hung, pal. It's in there, so it's hung.
Plan the parade.
Whenever y'all hang a Final Four banner,
Jeff, how many people are coming to that national championship parade?
You and
what's that now?
How many people?
We didn't have parade. They had to celebrate. There ain't no parade. I don't think they had to celebrate.
Oh, we don't throw parades for volleyball national championships.
No, they had a celebration. We hung the banners.
How many people were there? Like the team and their parents.
What's that now?
How many people were there? The team and their parents.
No, there was thousands of people there.
Thousands and millions watching from around the world.
Because we have season tickets in charge.
You fill up the Pontiac Dome, brother.
But y'all let them in free. And when are y'all going? Let me ask them. When are y'all going to start selling alcohol at y'all's ball games?
Probably about 3 months.
Y'all still fighting with the mayor over at Cassie?
No. Mayor got on board.
Mayor backed off.
Mayor's on board, Jeff.
I don't know. Y'all better hurry up.
So when you come down to Tuscaloosa, you can drink all the bourbon you want in Bryant Denny Stadium watching Kentucky lose.
You better hurry up and start selling. Hurry up, because everybody be getting drunk.
Well, y'all aren't coming for how many years? When's the next time Kentucky's coming?
Y'all shouldn't get drunk watching that bad football team y'all got.
Bad? What are you talking about?
That football team y'all should.
We can watch Alabama football sober because it's so good.
I don't know.
80% of our fan base gets bored watching our football game.
William Anderson ain't going to New York. He'll go to New York, all right? He'll go to Yonkers, New York, or Utica somewhere. He ain't going to no Heisman Trophy stuff. You can forget that. He ain't winning no Heisman Trophy. He's a defensive player.
Is Will Levis winning a Heisman?
No, he's not going to win it either. I'm going to say he ain't going to win it. No.
Who had the second most first place votes last year?
I don't know.
Will Anderson.
Well, he didn't win it, though, did he?
No, he didn't win it. But
no,
if he ain't first, you're last.
To insinuate that, I mean.
Well, let me tell you this. Georgia fan that I know, Kirby Smart does some interview he's done in the past, too. But he says the most physical offensive and defensive line in the SEC, you know what it is? It ain't Bama. It's Kentucky, pal. It ain't Bama. Uh-uh. It ain't Bama.
I give Kentucky the offensive line.
Like the guy told me.
And what does that got y'all?
Hang that
banner up there.
We've won nine games.
Like the guy told me.
We were the most physical. Roll Tide.
Whatever. Hell. But when y'all get y'all a basketball coach, you let me know. Because it's my owner. When we say Big Rick Pitino. So you couldn't be.
Man, it's been 10 years since y'all won a basketball national championship. I'm looking this up. It's been 10 years.
We won eight of them.
Alabama had won eight by the time you're talking about Gene Stallings in his 10 years.
Five of them were before I was born.
We got eight championships. Five of them were before I was born.
Four of them were before integration.
Who cares? I don't care. What's it matter? Y'all won y'all's for integration. Y'all didn't have black football players. Kentucky was the first to tune SEC to have a black football player. Alabama was the last. You look that up, pal. We had 2-3 of them before y'all even had any.
Well, congratulations. I'm not boasting about titles from 1940. I got five that I can tell you all about.
I'm saying Kentucky was the first school in SEC to integrate in football. It wasn't Alabama. They were the dead last.
You had to make up for Adolph Rupp's history by doing that.
I don't give a rat's ass. I don't give a damn. It don't make no difference. I'll get titles anyway. I can do it. If I've got to bust you three up, I'll hit one. I don't care. I'll drag your carcass through Lexington, Kentucky.
So when's the next time Kentucky basketball is going to win a title? Since
it might be this year. I hope. I'm hoping it's this year. But if it ain't, we still got we're getting closer than Bama does. I can tell you that.
If it ain't this year, I still got eight to sleep with. You know, it's all good.
We'll get a hell of a lot closer than Bama will. Just like y'all are great in football, we're great in basketball. Two of the best traditions in the SEC. That's just the way it is.
Hang the banner. Most physical offensive line in the league.
Y'all don't like Stoops and none of our coaches on the campus.
Mark Stoops just needs to toughen up. Play your nine games. Play Louisville. Get rid of Bowling Green Tech.
Why we do this? Y'all play 12 conference games.
We'd love to. The rest of them play eight.
That's fine. The team that doesn't care about how hard it is the team that's going to do better. The team that cries about how hard it is, the team that looks at the schedule and says, oh, we can't win that game, it's too hard, they're going to lose, and they're never going to get above 8 and 9 wins.
Years ago, Saban was the only one that wanted 9. Nobody else wanted it. They don't have to kiss off. Nobody else wanted
it. He's usually ahead of the curve. He usually knows what he's talking about.
We need 10. Get rid of UT Martin. Get rid of Kent State. Get rid of Bowling Green.
I mean, it's professional football anyway, Jeff. Let's play 10 conference games and two out-of-conference in the Power 5.
If they'll have us, we'll go.
Don't play college ball.
Is Roger Goodell passing out invitations? If Goodell's giving an invitation, we'll go.
Maybe y'all play the Birmingham Stallions at exhibition.
Oh, I don't want that for the Stallions. The Stallions would not like that. Have you seen them play?
It'd
The Stallions don't have a quarterback.
The Crimson Tide could beat the Stallions.
Nobody there. Y'all hang in there, pal.
Roll Tide. That's a good question. You know,
Alabama would wipe the floor with the
You have the debate. You know, people make up the debate, and they're wrong. Can Alabama beat an NFL team?
Never.
No.
Never.
But they would smack the Stallions. Smack the Stallions.
They would beat the hell out of them.
No quarterback, bad offensive line. I mean, I know you got Skip Colts, and I love you, Bo. I mean, great on you, Bo. You're making it. But Mason's a big giddy-up Stallions guy. Are you? How many points does Bama have to spot the Stallions?
For them to, like, stand a chance in the game?
Yeah, for them to – what's the money? What's the line?
I think you got to give 28? The Stallions a 21-0 lead for them to even hold a chance.
Oh,
right at the beginning there.
Alabama would get 21 before we hit the 8-minute mark of the first quarter.
Like, that – I mean, you both said it perfectly. The things that Alabama – I love the Stallions. The Stallions are cool. I love the USFL. But they would do such horrible things to that football team.
Be illegal in 8 states, right?
I mean,
Will Anderson would be liable to have like 15 sacks that game.
I'm sorry, but volleyball national championships, great.
Hang the banner.
Good job.
Man's, I love Jeff, but he switches from one sport to the next. You don't know which sport you're arguing for and against anymore. Check out some of these rules for the MFL. Is it the Major League Football?
MFL, that sounds like a dirty acronym.
Well, MLF sounds like a dirty acronym, too. That's yes, what I was laughing yes. at. But Major League Football League.
Hey, you slap an American flag on it, we good
hey,
to go.
Look, when I'm looking at the website, all I'm seeing is MLF in big letters. And if I glance at it, it looks like something else.
I like MLFs.
A 30-second play clock. Instead of the NFL's 40 seconds.
Okay.
50-yard field goals are worth 4 points.
Yes! Make the kickers valuable!
4 points. Which they do that in NFL Europe, by the way, if you didn't know. I didn't know NFL Europe was
are they still existing?
Still a thing.
Are they operating?
I don't think it is.
I had literally no idea it still existed.
I don't think it does. I think I just read this wrong. Oh, no, I lost my page. Oh, no. Oh, I messed up. There it is. The ground can cause a fumble.
Okay, I like that. That's fine.
I don't know how that makes sense. Because once you're down, you're down, right? Any body part other than the palm of your hand and the soles of your feet, right? How does the ground cause a fumble?
I guess we'll see.
That would insinuate that this is going to be on television.
Yeah, we're not going to see this league. I mean,
this league is not going to be on TV.
You're putting another. You're putting a semi-pro league in the fall. You're dumb. You're very dumb.
In the case of overtime, a 10-minute period will be played to determine a winner. Similar to former NFL rules, first score wins the game. In the event the game is still tied after overtime, there are alternating possessions from the 10-yard line. Teams get 4 plays to score a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Not a fan of the overtime rules. Not at all. I'm more blown away by a ground can cause a fumble.
I'm blown away by the business decision to put a league in the fall.
A league that is supposed to have 18 teams, but you've only got 4 ready to go. And you're putting it in the fall. You only have, like, what? How many different matchups do you have?
Like, nine. You know, if you have 8, if you only have 4 teams, you can only do 3, you know. You play in the other 3 opponents like 6 weeks or whatever. Each team, you play them twice maybe. There's your 6 weeks.
That's gross.
I mean, what's gross is you look at the quarterback play in the USFL and the offensive line play in the USFL, and it's pretty bad. Yeah, and you're looking for more of those guys? Like, you're going to the next tier down? Because that's the reason the USFL and the is not really. I mean, it's doing fun. It's doing okay for spring league. Let's say that it's not doing great. It's not doing bad.
I don't think it's doing as good as the XFL did when it returned.
No, it's not. But you're not getting good offense. I don't know who we had. I think it was Joe and Dothan suggesting a week or two ago that they, you know, that somebody, they need to run the wing tee. They need to run these high school offenses, and they'd probably have more success with it. But you got all these coaches trying to call professional offense, but without professional players.
I don't know that they need to run a wing tee or any gimmicky offense like that. But they do need. I do like that, though. You don't need to be calling a professional offense for non-professionals. You need to tone down the offense.
So Major League Football, MLF, Major Football League, Major
Major League Football.
Who are you going to go get?
I'd pull guys from the USFL?
Yeah, no.
I mean, like, they're not doing anything in the fall unless they get a camp invite and they stick around. Practice squad.
Yeah, what do you mean they're not doing anything? Those guys are going to the NFL, Jacob.
Sure. You know what a lot of those guys are doing? They're waiting for the XFL to open back up.
They're waiting tables.
I mean, they've all just been bouncing.
They're being
from
personal trainers.
They've all just been all those same pool of guys have been bouncing from spring league to spring league to spring league for the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, which is a shame for them because they can't find any sort of consistency.
They're working at Target,
so they can find a place to land their feet and actually hone their craft a little bit. I will say though, one thing this thing has got: team names. Arkansas Attack, Ohio Force, Alabama Airborne, Virginia Armada. That sounds like a league I would want to watch. There's no chance in hell I watch it, though.
No. Not enough time. With all the college football and NFL football, enough time.
No, you're pretty exhausted at that point. What are you going to play on a Tuesday?
Isn't that when, oh my gosh, isn't that when Maction, Tuesday night Maction, Wednesday night Maction?
No, I think Maction is on Wednesday.
Yeah, so, no, get out of town. Tuesday's like the only night.
So gross. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. If you want to join the...
Jay Coker or Stetson Bennett.
You know what? We'll do it. 205-342-9904 here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The best new analysis in T-Town.
Hey, I got a stat for you.
Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues on Tide 100.9.
Steve does a good job with those.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you. Joe Gaither across from me, Timbo, and Mason Woods behind the glass. You said it right before we went to break, Joe.
Blame Kendall.
Okay, so what was Kendall's take on this? Because I know he got some folks pretty riled up.
Well, I was, you know, poo-pooing Stetson Bennett and basically saying he only made two throws in the national championship game and, you know, poo-pooing basically – just poo-pooing Stetson Bennett as a whole.
Right.
And he was all –
as one would do.
Right. And he was all, you know, oh, he's not as bad as you think and, oh, you all – you know, y'all are just, you're just haters, this, that, and the other. And – we didn't. I didn't really pin him down, and I should have. But he asked. Who's better, Stetson Bennett or Jay Coker? And I jokingly says Jay Coker, the handoff master, and you know, won a national championship. And I sided with Jay Coker because his best receiver was our Darius Stewart. And he goes, well, you had Calvin Ridley, freshman Calvin Ridley.
Right.
I said Stetson Bennett had George Pickens, probably first-round draft pick talent, ended up falling to the second to your Steelers, third to the Steelers?
Second round, but he only had him for like two or three games.
Okay, he had him for the two or three most important
the
games.
The most important games.
He also had Brock Bowers, probably the biggest freak of nature in college football, even though he was a freshman last year.
What both guys had was incredible running games and incredible defense.
Sure, exactly. And so the question, you know, and I'm gonna pin Kendall down tomorrow. Stetson Bennett or Jay Coker. To me, I'm taking the cannon that is Jay Coker. Easy all day long. All day long. I mean, he comes in, he stabilizes an Alabama team that was kind of not in turmoil. That's way too dramatic of a word, but kind of in flux on offense, looking for an identity. Looking for an identity, and obviously he comes into the Ole Miss game and doesn't quite complete the comeback, but everybody like, oh, this guy might be the answer, and he was. I don't know. To me, it's obvious as far as if you don't know anything else and you say you got one game, you don't know anything else about the team, you just have to pick a quarterback because that's, you know, but who's a better quarterback? I'm taking Jay Coker.
I got to look at the fact that the offense had to go back to power football after Phil Simms. I have to look at the fact that Phil Simms.
That was Cooper Bateman.
I said Phil Simms. That's funny.
Blake Simms was 14, Simms. And then they had the, who was the three quarterback? But Cooper Bateman was one of them. That they had three that were kind of all jockeying for position. Cooper
Blake
Bateman.
Barnett in the mix in there somewhere?
No, Blake was a little later.
That was later. That was with Jalen Hurts.
Obviously, Coker took over
Cornwell,
for Cooper Bateman.
Cornwell, was he here at that time?
Yes, I think it was. Well, no.
No, I think all that was Jalen Hurts.
Who was the other quarterback? There was three that year that kind of
wasn't it Coker, Simms, and Bateman?
Well, Simms was the next year. Simms was the year prior. Simms was 14, and Coker was 15. Am I right? Because Simms was the first year of the college football playoff, also at Ohio State.
Simms beat out Jake Coker for the starting job.
Yes,
I think is a factor in all of this.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Blake Simms is a running back.
Lane Kiffin saw, I can do something with that guy.
Because he didn't have any options elsewhere. Because Jake Coker couldn't run that offense. I mean, am I crazy? Stetson Bennett could have run Jake Coker's offense.
I mean, I guess he could have.
Because Jake Coker's offense literally...
Alec Morris was the name I was
looking
for.
I could have ran Jake Coker's offense.
Any of us could, because it was literally, hey, Derrick Henry, here you go.
But I could have also ran Stetson Bennett's offense.
Look, am I exaggerating a tiny bit? Yes, Jake Coker did make plays. I know Shutdown Man was all in your mentions earlier today.
And that's fine.
You know, with video proof. But let me tell you, the play that he showed against Auburn, it's not the most athletic play in Auburn in Iron Bowl history, first of all. Bryce Young makes that play week in and week out.
It was miraculous.
It was good. I'm not taking anything away from Jake Coker for the good things that he did do. But to insinuate that Jake Coker is anything but the worst starting quarterback that has ever played at Alabama under Nick Saban, I think is...
Greg McElroy exists, bro.
No. McElroy is at least accurate.
You're saying, like, hands down. I could make an argument.
If we want to give Jake Coker all this praise for a handful of plays that he made in the national championship or the Iron Bowl or whatever, because he was a gamer, then let's point out that Greg McElroy had the toe tap on the sidelines to pick up a crucial first down. Like, you can point to any play you want to and support your argument for whatever quarterback you want. But the fact of the matter is that Jake Coker couldn't beat out Blake Simms, who was practically a running back, and could not run Lane Kiffin's offense had Nick Saban continued to try to run it. All of these are facts.
Hold on. I'm almost there. I know we're about to close it out.
Not to mention John Parker Wilson, Greg McElroy, every quarterback has had some semblance of an NFL career. Except for Jake Coker and Blake Simms.
You know we've had 58 passing yards in the Greg McElroy National Championship game. 58!
The Jay Barker Show is up next. Stick around.
What, he had, what, 13 passing yards?
We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Probably seen their clothing around town on game days, but check out Christopher Mobley on the Strip. It's luxury game day apparel redefined. It's the only place in town where you can find Tide Hoops apparel, clothing designed for the modern day entrepreneur, golf enthusiast, and athleisure fanatic. They've got Peter Millar, Fiore, Grayson, and Mizzen & Main. And if you haven't tried the Mizzen & Main dress shirts, you've got to. You can find them at 1410 University Boulevard on the Strip. Also, they've got a great e-commerce site at ChristopherMobley.shop. So check out Christopher Mobley, luxury game day apparel redefined.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Temperatures are heading for highs in the upper 90s to 100 across here this afternoon. Under partly cloudy skies, heat advisories are in effect.
Only a slight chance of cooling shower thunderstorm today. Tomorrow, highs 98 to 100 both days. Lows tonight around 73.
I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 95 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.